different aspects or components of successful song leading. Okay, now tell me if I need to clarify the question. I want you to write down three important aspects or components, parts, to successful song leading. If you want to be a successful song leader, name three of the most important things you can think of that are going to make you a successful song leader. Okay? Do you need it for us at all?
Yes.
I got some paper.
Oh, I got a paper. You got
something?
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. So, three things.
Imagine the feeling.
Imagine the emotion. Imagine your response to being before the throne of God. And how is that going to impact you? How did it impact those who are before the throne? Okay, so let's read together. Revelation chapter 4, beginning verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and among the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. The third creature had the face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. And because of Your will, they existed and were created." Now, that is kind of like the picture I've heard described of God's throne in the Old Testament. And verse chapter 5 now brings us to more of a New Testament throne scene because it builds on this picture. Chapter 5, verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals.' And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a Lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And He came and took it out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are You to take the book and to break its seals, for You were slain, and purchased for God with Your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And You made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.' And I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard say, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Now, I wanted to start there because there is the object of our singing. There is the object of our worship. And while good rhythm and a loud voice and the ability to read music and good pitch and keeping your eyes up and out on everyone and having confidence, keeping the beat and eye contact, those are all necessary components to good song leading. You can do all of those things, and if we fail to worship, if we fail to fall down before God on His throne, then I will say to you, we have failed in our worship. Okay? What is worship? How would you describe worship? Worship is what? I find that hard to sometimes put into words. As we read it in Revelation 4 and 5, how would you describe worship?
Praising God.
Making God the priority, absolutely. Recognizing Him for the greatness that is His. What else did they do in Revelation 4 and 5 as part of their worship? Bowed, fell down on their faces, cast their crown, took their crown off, and they have received honor. But in the presence of God, they cast their crowns down before Him. That's worship. That's making obeisance to something. It's falling down, prostrating yourself. It's revering. It's serving. It's rendering this religious service to God. And listen, our singing is worship. And it is about communicating that kind of a response, that kind of a reverence for God. And while you may say, "I don't know the last time I was singing and I saw God on His throne and all the rainbows and all this, to see it last," the reality is we're in God's presence even right now. And so the challenge is, how do I acknowledge it? It's like praying. When I pray to God, He's hearing me. See Him? No. He's talking to me and I hear Him saying, "Oh, I got you, John. Listen, go ahead." No. But I need to recognize He's there and I'm talking with Him in the same way as in our singing. We're worshiping the Almighty God on His throne who is in our presence. And so, our worship needs to be stronger than it is today. Our worship needs to be deeper than it is. You have a song book in front of you. Turn to song number 449. 449. The song's entitled "Wonderful Love of Jesus." 449. Okay, Malik, I'm going to ask you to read verse 1. Not the chorus, but just the first two stanzas there.
"In vain and high and holy ways, my soul her grateful voice would raise. For who can sing the worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus?"
Okay, so it's almost like there's a question there, isn't it? Who can sing the worthy praise
because of the wonderful love of Jesus. What's the answer to that question? No one.
That's right.
And in fact, the first part of that verse says that. In vain. In high and holy lays. That's not talking about potato chips. What is it? What's a high and holy lays? Well, that's a good thought, but no, this is Old English language. Okay? When was this song written?
1883.
A couple days have passed since then. We don't talk like that anymore. And high and holy lays simply means songs. A lays is another way that they said back then, it's a song. In vain and high and holy songs, my soul would raise a grateful voice. For who can sing the worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus? Now, first point I want to make to you. How many of you have sung that song before? Have you sung the wonderful love of Jesus? Some of you have. It's an older song. If you don't know what high and holy lays are, how do we adequately sing with the heart? Okay? So one of your jobs as a song leader is to make sure people understand what they're singing. Just like a Bible teacher, make sure that the students understand what the Bible, help understand what the Bible's saying. Same thing with our words. So, the point of this is that we can never praise God enough. We can never praise God good enough for all that He has done, but we try. Okay, we keep giving it out because we want to honor Him. You've got your Bibles. Look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And I want to read first. Maybe the whole Psalm. I want to read starting in verse 1. Psalm 95. Joey, I'm going to have you read that. The first Psalm 95. I want you to read verses 1 through 7, please.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I wrote it.
Sorry. Today, we hear
your voice. Okay, thank you.
I love that.
It is such a great reminder of who we are to sing to. Sing with joy to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. And we're in His presence, verse 2 points out. So thus we sing joyfully to Him in song. For verse 3, He is a great God and a great King. He made the whole earth and it's all in His hands. So we respond to that like verse 6. We worship. We bow down. We kneel willingly before God our Maker because He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Listen, I'm trying to impress upon you how important our worship is and what we're about here is solely. I once heard of a man from Japan, okay, and he was visiting the United States. And in his visit to the United States, he joined one of the worship services that were going on, maybe like coming to your church. And after he visited a few times, he made this observation. He said, if we're worshiping such a great God, why did he see so many people getting up and down during the services? Why were people passing notes? Why were they carrying on side conversations and all of that if you're worshiping such a great God? What did he expect to see? And did he? What did he expect to see? For worshiping such a great God, the utmost respect, the utmost attention. You talked about no distractions, right? Didn't you? And he didn't see that. What he saw was a failure of people to recognize what?
Great God.
How great God is. Now, you've heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't make it drink. And that is true. And as a worship leader, you can do everything you can do to get people to recognize the greatness of God and the importance of their worship. But you can't make them do that. But you've got to try. You've got to do your utmost best to get people, as we sing and worship God, to see the greatness of God and to understand the weight and the gravity of what they're saying in the songs that are being sung. You are a worship leader as a song leader. It is not just about blowing a note and moving your hand and singing loud. It's all about bringing everyone together before the throne and falling on your face before God. And when you do that, you will sing from the heart. You will sing with the spirit and the understanding that Corinthians talks about. Okay? That is your job as a song leader. And if you don't do your best to bring people to the water so they can drink, you have failed. So, your job, the role of the song leader, is to help people direct praise and glory to God. Said another way, is to help tune hearts, not voices, but to tune hearts toward God. And when we do that, God will be adequately worshipped. Well, no, that's not true. But we will have perhaps done our best to try to give him adequate worship. And we will approximate what we read in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where those people, seeing God and the Lamb on the throne, fell down and worshiped. So, let me give you a handout, and let's talk through this briefly. Joey, this will look familiar. Here is what I put together called the Song Leaders Checklist. Number one on this list is you've got to recognize, as a song leader, I am a worship leader. I must prepare for this task. Imagine you were going to preach a lesson at your congregation. Can you imagine showing up and trying to scribble down a few notes as you walk in the building and trying to pull that off? I cannot. Can you imagine being asked to present a lesson at one of your church assemblies? I'll qualify what I'm going to say here. All you do is read Scripture. Now, that would be a good thing to do. In fact, Paul encouraged Timothy through the public reading of Scripture. But is that the expectation of one who preaches? I would argue no. I think we all, what do we expect out of a preacher? to show us direction, to explain, to help understand what the scriptures say. So yes, so read and then expand on that. Help explain. Help us. As a song leader, you have got to prepare. You've got to spend time thinking about how am I going to direct praise toward God? How am I going to tune hearts toward God? And if all you do is pick out three songs and lead them, guess what? You're going to leave 80% of the people behind because we get distracted. I get distracted with the tune and the tempo and the harmonies. And I maybe don't understand what high and holy lays mean, you know, things like that. Is it possible to sing the song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made? I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the world displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Is it possible to sing that song and not think once about God? Oh, yes. I've done it numerous times. Shame on me. But I'll tell you what. If I, as a song leader, get you thinking about those words before you sing them, guess what? Chances of you glossing over that and just making your way through the melody. Well, guess what? I've got to prepare if I'm going to do that. Now, I'm not preaching a sermon, so let's move on. Lead your audience with brief introduction to each song. Don't preach a sermon. So, you need to say something that gets them in the mindset to worship. Give the number twice, okay? This is some mechanics here. But more importantly than the number twice, say the name of the song. It's not the number that's important. It's the song that we're singing. And if you say the name of the song, guess what? People are already thinking about, my God, I thank you who have made. Thank God. Yeah, we're gonna sing about thanking God. Or how great thou art. Okay? That's simple, but it's important. You mentioned pitch. I'm going to suggest you should blow the do note. We'll work on that in class. If you've taken Ed Smith's class already, you know about that, some of those basic mechanics. And then you want to move with the audience to the starting note of the melody. That's important because as people try to sing their parts, they move from the do note to their starting note. And if you just blow the starting note of the song, it may be very difficult for people. And now you've left them behind while you're starting to sing. It takes them two measures to catch up. And they've lost those first two measures, which are recorded. Announce any changes you want to make in the singing of the song, especially if you're going to try to do it in any way different than the way it's written, or in case you might need to explain something about the song. Maintain a clear beat pattern and overemphasize any dynamic or tempo changes. Give a clear ending to each verse and to the end of the song. I'm good friends with a man, and when it gets to the end of the song, he just holds his hand up like this, and he never gives you a cutoff, and you never know when to stop. And so you've got to watch his mouth and hope you can figure out when he's stopping and ready to move on. That's not helpful to me as someone trying to follow. Okay, this is important. Do not acknowledge mistakes or attract unnecessary attention to yourself. How many of you were in the singing class prior to this? Okay. I introduced the new song, theme song, and I screwed it up. Okay. I knew I was going to do that. But I try not to draw too much attention to my mistakes. Why? Because who said it's not about me? Is that you, Paul? It is not about me. And the more I highlight my mistakes, I get people what? Paying attention to me. It's not about me. Everybody knows I made a mistake. I don't need to tell them and have them thinking about me more. Psalm leading preparation reminders. Read the words of each hymn aloud, including the chorus after each verse. This is before. This is as you're preparing. Pick songs in different keys and rhythms as possible. Decide the order for the songs to be sung. Now, you've got to think about this. How am I going to stack these songs up so they have their greatest impact? You know, and maybe I want to end on a crescendo. So I'm going to save the best of this selection to right before the lesson or at the close of the lesson or whatever. Decide which verses you want to sing. Always default, I say, to singing all of the verses. Stephen, have you written any songs? How do you like it when people omit verses to songs that you've sung? That you've written, I'm sorry. You wrote those words with a purpose, right? And a lot of times it all works together to complete a thought. Now, I'm not saying you can never skip a verse, but I'd say in general, plan to sing all the verses, unless you've got some special reason not to. Practice both singing and hand movements, and be familiar enough with the songs to enable frequent eye contact with the audience. And I mentioned that. Use the songbook as little as possible. I've been taught from a young man named Grayson Keene. He may be in Florida now. But Grayson used to hail from the Louisville, Kentucky area. And Grayson came to Indiana FC camp the last year or so that we were there. And he led songs. And Grayson would almost never use the songbook. And he hardly ever flubbed or messed up. And he was able to engage the audience and lead effectively because he wasn't so tied to the songbook. You know what that took? Practice, practice, practice. Yeah. Now, I've been instructed by Grayson. I'm trying to do better with that. But he took a lot of practice on his part to be ready to worship. Just like somebody who preaches, puts their notes together, and then if they're really serious about it, they practice in front of a mirror and do it more than once to try to have a good delivery. Okay? Now, let me give you one more handout here. This is going to be your assignment for the remainder of the week. You have no assignment for tomorrow, specific assignment, but I'm giving you this now so that you can start to work on it as early as you want or can. And what I'm having you do here, I'll go over this with you together. Everybody get a copy? Oh, Steve, no. It's the same thing I've done before. I didn't give you a phone there, Jim. Pardon me. So, you have basically three assignments. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm messing up. Okay, we don't have class on Tuesday. We'll have class again tomorrow, but our off day will be Tuesday. So when you come to class on Wednesday, we're going to practice some of the things that I've been trying to emphasize with you about being a successful song leader. So, for Wednesday, I want you to choose three songs to lead in what I'm going to call, might be a typical Wednesday assembly for a Bible study, and then, you know, while the group's together, they sing a few songs. And you should have that including an invitation song. Pick the songs so that they work together in terms of some sort of theme, and I say identify a couple of points that you're going to make prior to leading the first song to help the audience focus, okay, at least the first song, and then once you be prepared, lead one song in our class on Wednesday. I want you to be prepared to lead this group of men in worshiping God. So you're going to help tune hearts toward God. You're going to help direct praise toward God because you've prepared some thoughts and ideas, and you're going to lead with that and then lead the song using this sheet as some guide to do it well. And I will critique you, okay? And I'll give you feedback if you want to hear it. This is all about learning and getting better in worshiping God in song. On Thursday, then, you will do the similar activity, but it's like you're leading songs in what I'm familiar with, which would be like a Sunday evening service. So I want you to choose a theme. I've given some ideas that you might use for a theme. And I want you to choose a Bible text to introduce your theme. Again, your song leading. You read a text, short text. Probably can't read Psalm 139 like I did tonight. We don't have that much time. Identify a couple of points about at least the first song, and then be prepared to lead one song. So you're kind of putting together a song service, and in the class on Thursday, you'll get a chance to lead one song and help all of us to worship God. And then on Friday, you will have put together a song service plan for like a Sunday morning assembly. And that will include a song as an intro to taking the Lord's Supper together. So that'll be a part of your mix. Again, choose a Bible text to introduce the theme. And I'm giving it again. Choose a different theme. And so let me pause. What questions do you have about what I'm asking you to do on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? Yes.
So when can we come and pick our songs? I'm probably not going to be able to pick our songs with the fact we have.
Stephen, what do you think? What about that?
Taking song with respect to the
cabinets. Yeah. So Ed Smith's using these for his beginner song leading.
Yeah, I think you should be very careful not to leave it in the cabinet. Yeah. Keep it with you and make sure it's there for the full group singings and everything else. You should be extra careful.
Yeah, that's the key. So I understand you need a songbook to do this, but if you take a songbook back to your cabin and leave it there, and now you're taking another songbook when the whole camp's together, we're going to be short. And so y'all bored with this? We got to have a book, but we've got to have them when we're together. So, there's that pinch. So that's an option. I would not want to require that. That is a good idea, but again, I'm not going to require that. It's your free time. So let me say this. If you want to take a book to your cabin and work on it, I might ask you to be purposeful about that. Maybe come and get the book when you plan to work on it, not take a book and hope you get to work on it at some point. You know what I mean? Are you going to work on it tonight when you go back to the cabin? Probably not, because you're going to go back and it's going to be lights out. No sense taking a look with you tonight. You want one first thing in the morning? Come and get one, and then use it, and either bring it in with you back to the whole camp singing, or return the book when you're done with it. Okay, fair enough? Another question.
Where will they usually be kept this time? It varies. I would say probably the rec halls where they're going to live for a bit. If we're able to come back outside, they may be in tent one. But probably either rec hall or tent one. If you can't find them there, there may be a box in here. But a rec hall probably. Okay.
Okay. Other questions?
Are we going to be in here for the rest of the week? Or are we going to be...
Oh, okay. So tonight was unique for the plan. The rest of the week, we are scheduled, I believe, to be in the tent one.
And
Craft Hall / tent one, and Craft Hall Sunday night, and the rest of the week, out in tent one, weather permitted.